Right now, there are 11 days left until Election Day. Let's get to our weekly political roundtable.
Here and now,
2016.
Yes, time is running out. We have to be brisk. And joining us, Margaret Tolove, White House correspondent for Bloomberg News. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. And Greg Moore, former editor of the Denver Post and visiting journalism professor at the University of Colorado. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
So let's start with just, you know, a sense of the week. We had bad news for Obamacare, news that premiums will shoot up for people with insurance from the exchanges who aren't getting government subsidies. Last night, Donald Trump said, hey, skip the election. Just make me president. What jumped out at each of you from the week, Margaret?
The Obamacare story was really interesting because it had a potential to be a real drawback for Hillary Clinton going into this final stretch of the race, particularly because some of the biggest increases appeared to be in Arizona, which is this swing state that it didn't used to be a swing state, but if she could pick it off, you know, maybe the race would be over. But at the same time, Donald Trump seemed to sort of step on that message a little bit, conflating all of his businesses, including places that don't have insurance, with one in Florida where everyone wasn't on the Obamacare exchanges, but he was acting like they were. And it was one of these sort of perfect Trump anecdotes where he had a window, but
it took the headline away.
Yeah.
Greg, your thoughts on the week?
You know, there's so much going on. Just sitting here reflecting, I think Clinton may be counting her chickens before they're hatched, letting that leak get out there about Biden as a potential Secretary of State. It seemed to me that she was projecting some overconfidence, and I don't think that's smart in this race. Mm.
Well, let's listen to what the candidates have been saying. And I think this gets to your point, Greg. And starting with Hillary Clinton, who was on board her campaign plane on Wednesday and said she'd reach out to Republicans if she's elected.
I certainly intend to reach out to Republicans and independents, the elected leadership of the Congress, which you mentioned. I'm going to be doing everything I can to reach out to people who didn't vote for me because I want to be the president for everybody. And I think that's going to require a lot of effort on my part to demonstrate my commitment to that.
And then here's Donald Trump in an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
If she wins, are you prepared to work with
her? I just want to make that decision at a later date. I'm not saying I'm not or I am. I just don't want to tell you today. I want to make that decision at the appropriate time. Hopefully, I won't have to make that decision. I really believe we're going to win. We're going to win Florida. We're going to win Ohio. We're going to win North Carolina. I think we're going to win Pennsylvania.
So, Greg, on the one hand, you have the polls showing, in some cases, a very big lead for Hillary Clinton, in some cases, a modest lead. And on the other hand, the election's not over yet. And in some polls, there is a tightening of the race. What do you think? And are these candidates moving in a different direction than they have before about what they think is going to happen?
You know, I just think the candidates have to answer the questions that are put to them. But the truth of the matter is that the race is tightening and very few people thought 12-point leads were realistic here. I also think it's a bit unfair to ask Donald Trump, are you going to work with Hillary Clinton if she becomes president? Most vanquished foes don't end up in partnerships, you know, generally. I mean, Clinton and Obama were an exception, but I think it's a tight race, and I'm impressed watching the candidates down the stretch, you know, fighting for every vote, traveling incessantly, spending a lot of time in Virginia and Georgia and Florida, places where, you know, both of them really need to win.
Well, and just though we only have 11 days, and this election, though, does feel different than past elections because we always have the October surprises, but this year we have the daily surprises because this year we have WikiLeaks. So, Margaret, weigh in on that. You know, damaging emails this week showing that an aide for former President Bill Clinton was raising money for both the Clinton Foundation and for Bill Clinton by getting him these paid engagements. You know, it could be that the people who are sending these emails out, and a lot of people think it's the Russians, will strategically place a doozy next week. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, everyone is now saying the October surprise could turn into a November surprise. And all the conventional wisdom says if that happened, it would come through WikiLeaks or in connection with WikiLeaks. But there's a couple of important kind of counterpoints to consider. One is that there's been such an expansion of both online registration and early voting, both in person and by mail, that the Clinton campaign has been counting on their kind of infrastructure effort to get more of that turnout, particularly among Hispanics and African-American voters, captured early so that anything that happens in the last 2-3 days wouldn't have as much of an impact. Now, I think we need to assess each day on a day-by-day basis as secretaries of state report data. How many people actually are taking advantage of that early voting right. capability? But that's one element, you know. And the other element is that I think you see a tightening in the polls for a couple of reasons. Number one is the impact of that sort of flurry of groping scandals that were attached to the Donald Trump campaign kind of subsiding and people taking that into account and moving on. And at the same time, these new WikiLeaks revelations kind of pressing down on Hillary Clinton. But I think some of these revelations about the Clinton Foundation or emails or Podesta stuff probably had a bigger potential to damage back during the Democratic primary than they did in this phase of the contest.
So I know people are just really sad that there are no more debates to get really anxious about and watch. But the good news is there are some debates, just not presidential debates. And there was one last night we have to listen to a little bit of. This is Illinois Republican Senator Mark Kirk and Congresswoman and veteran Tammy Duckworth, whose mother is Thai. Her father is a former Marine. Let's listen.
My family has served this nation in uniform, going back to the Revolution. I'm a daughter of the American Revolution. I've bled for this nation. But I still want to be there in the Senate when the drums of war sound, because people are quick to sound the drums of war. And I want to be there to say, this is what it costs. This is what you're asking us to do. And if that's the case, I'll go. Families like mine are the ones that bleed first. But let's make sure the American people understand what we are engaging in. And let's hold our allies accountable, because we can't do it all.
Senator Kirk, 30 seconds to rebut.
I had forgotten that your parents came all the way from Thailand to serve George Washington.
So that's not going over well in Illinois today. Now, analysts had said that Kirk was probably going to lose anyway, but your thoughts, Greg?
You know, it's just a reflection of the coarseness of political debate in this country. I do think you have to acknowledge that, you know, Kirk is a recovering stroke victim and things of that nature. But it was a very unfortunate comment. And some people actually just sort of view that as part of a continuum with him making really, really ribald comments at very inappropriate times.
Well,
so.
she issued pictures, what, Jeremy, of her father?
Yeah, shows her, you know, it's her mother that is from another
Thai,
country,
right.
that is Thai. Mm-hmm. Her father is, you know, she said, I'm a daughter of the American Revolution.
Right. But speaking of outside forces, what about, this is fascinating, Evan McMullen in Utah last weekend, Fox News host Lou Dobbs called the independent conservative presidential candidate Evan McMullen, who's emerged in Utah. You know, he's getting some votes there. Dobbs called him a globalist, Romney, and Mormon mafia tool. Here's McMullen on CNN yesterday.
Vote on principle. Vote your conscience. Let's start a new conservative movement, which we've already done, I believe. But let's move that forward. It'll be a movement that will welcome all kinds of people into it. People, women, minorities, millennials, everyone.
I don't know, Margaret, if you want to call a Mormon in Utah a Mormon mafia tool. I don't think that's a good idea. But, you know, people were scoffing at him when he got in this race. He could really derail Trump from getting some electoral votes.
Right. I mean, if you look at the sort of recent polling in Utah, this is a three-way race between Evan McMullen, Donald Trump, and Hillary Clinton. It's entirely plausible that McMullen could win or could split enough of the vote to give it to Clinton, which seems really unlikely. Either way, it's a loss for Trump that could be a fatal loss if the rest of the map looks the way the rest of the map looks now, 10, 11 days
out. And it sounds like McMullen is trying to set himself up for the day after the election as kind of somebody that's going to help rebuild a new Republican Party. Greg, is that your sense? Or what do you think, you know, if Trump doesn't emerge victorious after Election Day, what is the Republican Party going to be doing?
I think it depends on what happens further down on the ballot. If they lose the Senate, I think they're going to be scrambling to figure out how to sort of reflect the will of the electorate and get some things done. If they manage to hold on to the Senate, I think we've gotten a preview from Cruz and others that they're going to continue to sort of fight and obstruct, and we may have more of the same if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency and the Republicans have control of the Senate and House.
Well, I just want to close out in the minute we have with Margaret. You started by saying that polls have tightened, and you listed various reasons. We want to point out another. Nate Silver says polls tightened because Trump picked up more third-party voters and undecideds, and those third-party voters might have come from Gary Johnson, who's lost half his support in polls over the past 2 months. So, you know, those third-party candidates, we can't forget that those people might be changing their mind now.
Yes, the third-party candidates have the potential to be spoilers. They also have the potential to completely recede. And perhaps one day in American politics, they will have the potential to actually vie for the spot themselves. But for now, it's important to remember that even though all politics is about the economy and presidential races, that a president still is in charge of foreign policy.
Yeah.
Margaret Tolov of Bloomberg News and Greg Moore, former editor of the Denver Post. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, this news in this afternoon, Mark Kirk has apologized on Twitter to Tammy Duckworth for that comment in the debate last night. We'll keep following that